Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Collaboration and cooperation between Jews and Muslims is not something we hear much about in today's world, although there is plenty of evidence of it here in St. Louis. We'll explain a little bit later. But first, another religion is being heard from on the local environmental activism front. The Franciscan Sisters of Mary here in St. Louis are bringing their activism to those controversial landfills in North St. Louis County. Their actions help put new emphasis on Pope Francis's recent expressions of concern about climate change. Joining me to discuss these issues are Sister Susan Scholl, the president of the Franciscan Sisters of Mary. Gail Thackeray is their ecological justice coordinator. She has just recently returned from that International Climate Change Conference in Paris. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Sister Susan, let me just start with you to say that the environmental issue is certainly not new to the Catholic Church, is it?
Not necessarily, but it hasn't been as strong, certainly, as it is now. Pope Francis' encyclical has certainly built that up. We as Franciscans have always been involved with the environment as we follow St. Francis' model with that. And even for us, we've been in healthcare. So it's only in the last 4 to 5 years that we have really turned our focus as strongly as we have to the environmental issues.
The landfills are the ones that are getting all the attention now, obviously, are receiving an awful lot of attention. What brought you to that particular problem?
Primarily, our move to Bridgeton. When we moved our sisters from our convent behind St. Mary's in Clayton, our offices also moved to Bridgeton, and we found out that all of us were in the same area as the landfill, which was somewhat of a surprise to us. And then Gail's work also became aware of all the work that was going on around the landfill. But the proximity to it was pretty much our first awakening to the issues up there.
Gail's work. What exactly is Gail's work, and how did that bring the landfill issue to the sisters?
Well, the sisters have a mission that's compassionate care for the planet. And through that, I look for areas that there may be injustice or areas where we can do better. So when I heard about the Westlake landfill issue through the Missouri Coalition for the Environment, they had already been working on it. Ed Smith said, Gail, you need to have a cup of coffee with me. Mm-hmm. So we talked, and I was surprised to learn all this was happening in the St. Louis area.
What is the involvement? What actually are the sisters doing?
Well, the sisters met with the Missouri Coalition for the Environment, and we also met with the mothers involved. They call themselves Just Moms, STL, and that's Don Chapman and Karen Nickel. So we've been working with them and getting to know what the documentation was all about, the management of the landfill, understanding where the gaps were, and also we recognized that people didn't know about it. They weren't aware about it. So we've been in the process of educating others. I've been to SIUE to educate juniors there. I was also at the St. Louis University to educate about this in a sociology class. So we just kind of get the word out and try to educate people about it. We also lend our name to boardrooms. We go in and also meet with legislators and speak to them about this issue and our concern for it.
Well, it has been receiving, obviously, a lot of attention. But what about progress, movement on this thing? It seems like we have not advanced very far, Sister.
Well, no, we haven't. Actually, if you look back and see how long people have been working with this, mm-hmm. it may be the movement seems more significant than it actually is, because I think they've been working on this for years and years and years before we came to it. Our presence hopefully brings some notoriety to it. And these things do take a long time. They're political issues. There's a lot of people who are not happy about what's going on, and so it's just slow. You keep plugging away, but I'm very much aware of and inspired by the people who were working at this long before we came to the issue.
Are the nuns out there every day?
No. One of the things about our congregation is we are older, and we
have nothing wrong with that.
No. We're very proud of our age and our wisdom. But we also know we can't be out there doing things like we have before, you know, when we're in our 70s and 80s and 90s. Now, we are visible every other week. We do a prayer vigil out there across from the landfill. And as Gail said, you know, where we can attend meetings and be a presence, we are. But there is very little that we can do on a daily basis physically. But we can lend our presence and we can lend our financial support and the wisdom of our years.
Gail, you're getting a good response, you indicate, from some residents out there. What about from the politicians, and what about from the owners of the landfills?
Well, from the politicians, we've had much success. They've really have taken time to listen to this issue, taken time to understand the documentation that shows where the gaps are and where people have been misled all along. So in November, our legislative diplomats have brought forth a bill, the Senate Bill S-2306, introduced by Senator Roy Blunt and Senator Claire McCaskill. And it requires the Secretary of the Army, acting through the Chief of Engineers, to undertake remediation oversight of the Westlake landfill located in Bridgeton. And also it has a counterpart in the House. It's Representatives Clay and Wagner introduced H.R. 4100 that requires the same thing. This is tremendous action that has taken place. And that's what we're going to be focused on in the next few months.
What do you want to happen?
We want to see the appropriate parties be in charge of the management of the landfill site. The Westlake landfill site has been kind of undermanaged at this time through the through the EPA. And so we'd like to see the Army Corps of Engineers FUSRAP program take management control out there.
Sister, are you getting any kind of support, any significant support from just plain folks, if you will, outside of the immediate area? I mean, a lot of folks don't live anywhere near those landfills. I suspect they have other things on their mind.
When you say outside of the immediate area, that would be Bridgeton. I think people around St. Louis are becoming more aware of it. We were talking coming over here about the whole issue of moving the radioactive material, and so people along that path and all of that are becoming more aware of the discussion. Are we getting support? Not particularly for us. But I would say if it comes to the Missouri Coalition for the Environment or to the moms, we're happy with that because these have been the main drivers. We ourselves, FSM, haven't heard much.
But it would help to hear. It would help to hear from people.
I think it would help. Anybody who can weigh in on that would be very helpful because there is a very select group of people who have really given their lives to doing this. You know, who have children and other family obligations, who have spent an inordinate amount of time.
Well, you say it's been around for a long time. It's been around since World War II.
Oh, yes.
That is a good long while.
Yes.
Gail, tell me something about the Ecological Justice Mission.
The Ecological Justice Mission is to improve our environment, to have a response to things that we see that might negate a healthy environment. The sisters have been a party to SSM Healthcare. They were the founders. So they recognize that health and the environment are very closely related. And so from that aspect, we continue to improve our environment, therefore improving health.
It's a three-pronged mission, from what I understand.
I'm not quite sure.
I have in my notes here that your approach is investment, philanthropy, and investing from fossil
attachments. That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
The philanthropy and the investments are kind of under the care of Sister Susan here, so she can speak well into that area.
Well, let's talk about that then.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we are an aging congregation, so we said we can't be out there doing these things, but we can support those who are. We can use the resources that we have to a better advantage. So we took a chunk of the money that we had invested in mainly, you know, Wall Street kind of things and moved it to mission investment, which means that we can use these resources while we still earn a return for doing sustainable agriculture, for saving the wetlands, for looking at clean energy. So we took our investments and did that. We also took another piece part of our funds, a certain percentage, and are doing some philanthropy. And as we talked with one of the groups that we're working with, I said we can facilitate what's happening, we can watch it happen, or we can help it happen. And those are the three things that we try to do with the resources.
You know, I suspect a lot of people are maybe scratching their head a little bit saying, well, where are they getting this money that they're investing all over the place?
Well, actually, this is money that the sisters have earned over the many years. We try to live rather frugally, and what we don't need for our living expenses goes into both caring for the elderly sisters, but then into our mission and our ministry. And this is considered part of our mission and our ministry at this point. So it's resources that we've always have put aside for this.
And because of your involvement in healthcare, I mean, that dollars are generated by the healthcare industry, I'm led to believe.
They are, but those don't come to the congregation. Mm-hmm. They stay within the healthcare system.
They are not available to you
to
use for your investments.
No, these are congregational funds.
I don't want to get into specific numbers here, but is there sufficient funds that you have available to you to really have an impact in the investment world?
Well, I think the truth of it is we single-handedly can have an impact. And I was talking this morning about that saying, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. So we do what we can do. And I think it's very inspiring to see all the groups, both where our mission investments are, but also the groups that we're doing some philanthropy with, how inspired these young people are and the kind of programs that they've put together to help indigenous people, to save the rainforest, to look at clean energy, to look at how we use, reuse, recycling, sustainable agriculture.
How large is your order?
74 of us.
And as you mentioned, that time marches on. The numbers will ultimately diminish. What will that do to the kinds of projects you're involved in?
Well, planning has always been part of our, we were trained by the Jesuits way back when, so we're good on planning. And we're planning ahead for when, you know, we come down to the last one and how, if we have resources left, financial resources and the assets, how those can be used to continue to further our legacy. But I think we feel very strongly that all the lives that we touch over all these years, the ministries that we started are also our legacy.
So. Gail, are you involved in any of this planning?
No, not so much involved in the planning, but I, as I went to Paris, I got to meet some of the philanthropy groups and also some of the people who are recipient of grants. So it was very exciting to learn how the money was being used and how people were coming up with great initiatives to bring awareness about climate.
Right. I want to talk more about your visit to Paris and the results of that, and also about Pope Francis's recent statements, which have gotten so much attention. We'll do that in just a moment. I'll also invite calls from our audience. If you'd like to get into the discussion, we're talking about ecological matters, specifically with reference to the Franciscan Sisters of Mary and the work they're doing out at the landfills in North St. Louis County. 382-8255 is our number. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stopublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL on Air. My guests in studio are Sister Susan Scholl, president of the Franciscan Sisters of Mary, and Gail Thackeray, ecological justice coordinator for the order. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back to our conversation with Sister Susan Scholl and with Gail Thackeray of the Franciscan Sisters of Mary. Sister, I hope you have some of that money you're investing with the Express Scripts. They seem to be doing pretty well.
And they're right out in your neighborhood. I don't think they're on our list, but may have to look into that.
They're out in your neighborhood. Gail, let's talk a little bit about your involvement in the Paris conference. Are you satisfied with the results of that? There was an awful lot of representation from all over the world there. A lot of people that get together and come up with a common cause, if you will.
That's right, with nearly 200 countries being involved, maybe 6 million people in Paris around concerning the agreement. Was a lot of stories coming from every side, from government, corporate, private individuals, philanthropy groups. So trying to sort through that and navigate it. I'm still doing that process, but I'm excited overall. The mayors were there for the first time representing the urban areas, and I think that's a key aspect to carbon emissions. So that was a very hopeful sign. Also, there were corporations there for the first time involved, and I haven't heard the outcome of that, but I'm hopeful that that was because they wanted to take part in it. And also, the private sector is very, they've already started a pledge. It's called the White House American Business Act on Climate Pledge, and they account for nearly 11 million people, employees, and $4.2 trillion in annual revenue, and they're pledging support for climate action. Those are the big numbers that we need, and involvement and awareness. So I guess it is a good thing for everyone to come together and have a space to dialogue.
What do you make of the climate change deniers?
I don't give them much thought anymore. I don't spend much energy in trying to change that. All we can do is be progressive and carry through and just kind of work in the areas that we know how to do best and not worry about the rest. I don't give it much thought anymore.
And sister, I'll ask you to get your response to what Pope Francis has been saying recently with his concerns about the climate. A lot of people have been critical of what he's had to say. Many not, of course, but some are.
Well, I guess part of it is if they've read the encyclical, you know, then they can be critical. A lot of people are critical without reading. But I think he's done a great service for actually the whole global environment, because people are impacted by this. And I'm very impressed with Pope Francis that he was able to step out there. Now, he does get critical. He does get criticism because they said, well, he's picking into little things like turning off the water and regulating that. But those are all things that people can do every day. And he really begins to tie it to spirituality, that this is our common home. You know, there's a requirement of all of us to really take care of this, and there's generations following us. So I'm very impressed that he was able to do that. And frankly, personally, everything this man writes, it just kind of bowls me over. I think he's just really excellent.
Yeah, well, he has certainly been a little bit different, I think, than what we perhaps have been used to in recent years. Refreshing is a word that I hear a lot.
Yes, I think the Holy Spirit put him in place for a reason, so I trust her judgment on that.
All right. Well, that's a subject another for another discussion. We have a couple of callers. Let's get them into the conversation. We will start with Jay calling from Baldwin. I think he's going to refer to something we just talked about, but go ahead, Jay.
Yes, guys, I actually probably am, but I heard what you asked on. How do you deal with these deniers, especially the ones that are public, that are on like 97.1? And I know this one host, a local host, at 5 o'clock on Saturday night or Friday night, one of the two, she's always blasting climate scientists and, you know, saying it's a farce and, you know, it's so frustrating to hear that stuff. So I'd be curious on, you know, your attitude on that, given the overwhelming evidence that the globe is warming. Thank you.
You know, you can't trust radio hosts. You can start from that premise. But go ahead, Gail. Would you like to respond to that again?
Right. As Jay knows, we hear a lot of that on the radio. I kind of tune that out and tune it down because I'm busy. I know that what my work and energy needs to be carrying an answer, a response, a solution to climate change. And in my own front yard where I feed the birds, I'm getting new birds that I've never seen before because it's warmer farther north now for them. Or I see that plants don't last as long throughout the summer season. So I'm seeing it just on a little small scale. So I don't need someone telling me that it's not happening. Yeah. I'm just focusing on what I can do about it.
And look at the weather we've been having here lately. It's going to be 72 in New York City on Christmas Day. I mean, it's not just the fact of it's getting warmer. It's the fact that it's making weather extremes even more extreme.
Exactly.
And that seems to be the issue. Anything you want to add to that,
sister? I would just say I think sometimes, you know, in our culture, we just argue against one another. And there's a value in listening. Not that I'm going to be convinced because I'm grounded in what I believe, but it is helpful for me in many instances to listen to what these people are saying to try and understand where they're coming from, unless it's just we don't believe it. But
all right. Well, let's take another call. I think it's going to be sort of related. Jerry joins us from O'Fallon, Missouri. Jerry, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Well, good morning. Yeah, good afternoon. Sorry. You kind of led right into what I was going to say, is that we keep looking at this situation in Bridgeton as regional because we're living close by. The people in the country, if there were to be some kind of an incident there, think of the economic impact from everyone. I mean, we wouldn't be insulated if you lived in Ladue or Clayton or someplace else. And I said to Mary earlier on it, that it's like climate, it's like global warming. You know, now when you read about in Miami, they have streets that are flooding that hadn't flooded before, and the people in public works there are looking to, even in the short-term future, 10 or 20 years, having to redesign and so even probably abandon some areas that are developed. Then you're going to see some action. When you see some economic impact, you know, all of a sudden people are going to wake up one morning and say, oh, wait a minute, this is affecting me, and it's not just an abstract thought.
Jerry, thanks.
Thank you for your concern and work in this area.
Jerry, thank you for the call. Health issues are certainly important. We don't want to minimize that.
No.
But he's right. The economic impact would be significant.
Well, the economic impact plus the fact that Bridgeton Landfill is just one place. They have been working on these in other places, so it's not like nothing no one ever heard of. Hmm. It's just the whole political piece that's surrounded this one location, but they are clearing up other areas. But yes, health is a critical piece. It's economic. There's many, if there's something happens, there will be many, much fallout.
Right. Anything you want to add to that, Gail?
No, I think
okay, let's take another call then. We'll bring in Art calling from St. Louis. Art, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call there, Don. Let me do this one better. Let's go look at human activity as far as being global climate change oriented. People want to live. They don't want to go ahead and exist. They will not coexist unless it's in their own interest for survival. And there's a lot of processes going on that no economy can rectify. I'd appreciate your talk and thought on that.
Art, thanks for the call. Who would like to take that? Sister?
Well, I think I understood what you were saying. I think one of the things that occurs to me, you know, and I don't want to do a broad sweep with this, but in our culture, we're always looking for the more immediate response. We don't take a long view, and people don't want to do things. You're right with the coexisting. We have to coexist, whether it's war or global or the things that we do in this country, and we have a very high standard of living, certainly do impact people in other countries. And I would think with all the work that's been done with the space shuttle and everything else, we have a different perspective on the global planet and how interconnected all of creation and all people are. I'm not sure I touched on exactly your comment, but...
All right, Gail, do you have a thought?
Well, in the global vein, I met indigenous from the northern European area. They were called the Sami, and they told us that a 2-degree increase a Celsius increase would mean like a 7-degree increase for them. They're losing their glacial areas. They're worried about losing their herds due to the heat. Their whole way of life has changed. I also heard from the indigenous Quechua leader, Sariaku Ecuador. Her name was Patricia Galinga. And the same thing, many are telling us that the message is the front lines are burning up. They need help. And so these voices are, I'm hoping to enlighten others by their voices.
Right. Our time is winding down. Is there a next step with regard to where you're going in connection with the landfills situation?
I would say to continue doing what we're doing, but collaboration, as you mentioned in your opening statement, is very much a critical part of what we're doing. So as we always have done, we can do what we can do, but to support those who are working in the same vein, who have the same passion, to collaborate and support their work is the next piece on the line.
Gail, a final thought?
I always say this. I welcome and invite other faith-based organizations to join us and to be a part. We welcome interacting with them, and hopefully we'll have some new people there.
Is there a website or some point of contact?
My number is 314-3.
I did that the other day. I forgot my number.
I never call my number.
Cell phones are the bane.
I'll tell you what. People don't have pens.
It'll all be on the website.
Franciscan Sister of Mary website.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll have all of that on our website at stlpublicradio.org, and folks can get that information there. Thanks to Susan Scholl, Sister Susan Scholl, for being
with
us. Good luck as you continue this work. Gail Thackeray, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome home from Paris.
Thank you.
Coming up, Christmas Day is a Christian holiday. How local Muslims and Jews are involved when we come back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.